You are listening to the Teaching Strides podcast, a production of the Academic Development Center at Montreal University.
I'm Julie Mooney, and this is Teaching Strides Episode 3. Teaching Strides is a podcast featuring Mount Royal University faculty discussing teaching practices that lead to student success. Today, we speak with Ada Jarzma about teaching personally challenging material. Ada Jarzma is Associate Professor of Philosophy in the Department of Humanities at Mount Royal University, a recipient of the MRU Distinguished Faculty Award. Dr. Jarzma is increasingly interested in the connections between how we teach and what we teach. With the support of a Teaching and Learning Inquiry grant from the Academic Development Center at MRU, Dr. Jarzma developed a research project with two MRU students that explores these connections in the context of philosophy. Professor Ada Jarzma, welcome to Teaching Strides.
Thanks. Tell us a little bit about the teaching practice that you'll be discussing today.
What I'm going to talk about is an exercise that I developed for a new course on race, science, and philosophy. And I taught it at the first year level in a Gen Ed class, Gen Ed 1203, and also in a third year continental philosophy class. If you picture a class of 35 students that come from many aspects of the globe, actually, like a very wonderfully diverse group of students. But I wanted to develop an exercise that would allow us each to enter the material explicitly from the first person. So really thinking about our own perspectives, our own location in relation to race and in relation to history. So I wanted them to sketch out a family tree and then notice what they don't know. So names, there might be some names that they could put on there, but probably there would be some nameless individuals pretty quickly. The next thing I wanted them to do was to notice the chronology. So have some timelines and think about as they're going back in time, at what point do the generations start to become really unknown to them? And I wanted them to notice that particular moment in history. And then the last thing I wanted them to do was, to the best of their ability, put the global movements of their families onto that sketch. So how recently did people in their family, for instance, move to where we are now? We're in Alberta. Are there other colonial movements that they might find significant in terms of the recent past or maybe even the deep past? So when the students brought their sketches to class, I played a 2-minute video of the slave trade. And so we watched it. And what you see on that video is ship after ship after ship after ship moving from Africa to the Caribbean or to Brazil. And I paused it at the moment when this Zong massacre occurred. So we kind of revisited that moment that we were learning about in chronological time. But I also asked them before I hit play on this 2-minute video to remember the point at which their family history starts, to notice the fact that we are implicated differently by this history and by this knowledge. Some of us come from families that were like my own family. My oma was born in Indonesia, which was a Dutch colony, and then she moved back to the Netherlands. There's deep colonial violence in my own family, but there were many students in my class whose families experienced that very violence of colonialism. So how do we relate in a first-person way to the fact that this knowledge has a differential impact?
What is the purpose of this assignment? What are you trying to achieve with the students in sketching out their own family trees, comparing that to historical events such as the slave trade?
One goal of this assignment is to bring the history really close, not in an abstract way, in a very concrete way. The second goal is more abstract and has to do with one of the philosophical ideas in the material we were reading. And I'll give you a line from the article we were reading, which is called Spectres of the Atlantic. And it's about the Zong massacre. The line is, justice abominates the singular. How is it that over 130 people could be murdered, thrown overboard? And not only were the people who committed this murder not held accountable for those crimes, but they were actually recompensed legally. Justice abominates the singular is a very strong statement asking us to think very skeptically about what happens when justice allies itself with certain capitalist presumptions about value. So I wanted us to tune into the precarity of the singular. And that even that sounds so abstract. So one of the goals of this family sketch is to notice the singular. Whose names do you know? What family stories do you know? And where is the limit? What's the horizon of your knowledge there? And at what point does the singular actually disappear?
How have your students responded to this?
Certainly, more than one student said, wow, I had no idea I know so little about my family. I think that was actually a pretty common response. Quite a few of the students, I think, got politically quite impassioned by the material. When Audra Simpson, who's an anthropologist, talks about the fact that the Mohawk Nation is a nation that needs to refuse the call to make itself palatable, say, to multiculturalism. She's making the same claim. Justice abominates the singular, therefore we will say no to certain misguided assumptions about justice. Quite a few of the students were able to engage with the political ramifications of this material by, for instance, contemplating the fact that, for instance, maybe their own family has been in Canada for a long time. That means that there's a really direct connection to settler colonialism.
What gains in student learning have you observed as a result of implementing this teaching practice?
I think that this was a way for students to get more actively engaged by anchoring their own family history in relation to the material. I also think that making abstract ideas more concrete through examples is essential.
And what have you learned about teaching as a result of developing and implementing this teaching practice?
It's really important to have assignments reflect the ideas in material. And that might sound really obvious, but I actually think there's something quite delicate there. So we don't want to superimpose an exercise onto material. We want exercises and assessment to emerge out of the ideas that we're teaching students so that they're all connected and so that we never, ever, ever ask them to do busy work.
There's risk involved in exploring these topics. How did you safeguard your class and your students from an alienating experience of this material?
One takeaway from all the material we were reading is that all of us together are here in this situation of neoliberal capitalism. We're all hailed to be consumers. We're all hailed to find ways to try and monetize ourselves. But at the same time, there needs to be a way for us to remember we bring very singular personal experiences to this material. And so to me as a teacher, the key point is keeping the conversation very open-ended. So at least for me, there's an enormous amount of thinking and prep that goes into the journey. And there's definitely a sense of a trajectory, but it's very important that there's not a shared endpoint, but that the conversations are going to open up and the students' own responses are going to open up in very not predetermined ways.
If a colleague were to approach you and ask about this teaching practice, say that they wanted to implement it in their own teaching repertoire, what advice would you give them?
I think it's important that we have a lot of confidence in our students, that they really are willing to go into really complicated, difficult places. So we can place a lot of faith in the kinds of impassioned conversations that the classroom can provide a space for. But we need to build containers for those conversations. So what we need to do as teachers is to really work out the connections between the curriculum that we're assigning, the in-class conversation that we want to have, and the specific exercises that we want to ask our students to participate in. If we're really having faith in where students are willing to go in the classroom, there's also a faith that we can place in our own embracing of the risk of teaching. When they ask personal questions, for instance, about my own history, sharing with that what my own family history is, there's something very humbling there about me as the pedagogue. I'm certainly not being lifted up there as an example of good critical race thinking. I'm actually a very problematic example of how we treat marked bodies differently than unmarked bodies.
Thank you, Ada. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
This has been episode 3 of the Teaching Strides podcast. Join us next time when we speak with Professor Jennifer Salinas about the classroom as a community of learners. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the Teaching Strides series on iTunes. visit us at teachingstrides.ca, where we post guest bios and links to additional information on the topic of each episode, and where you can sign up for email alerts and our RSS feed. Teaching Strides is a production of the Academic Development Center at Mount Royal University.
Teaching Strides, MRU faculty daring greatly.